This is the Pundits Podcast, sponsored by BetBright. So the 2016-17 Premier League season is over.
There are a few things
that went down to the final day, namely the top four positions. One of the things that didn't go down to the final day was the relegation places. One of the teams relegated was Sunderland. That was confirmed with a couple of weeks to spare. The man who took them down, David Moyes, has now resigned from his position at the club. There was no future for him there. Where's it gone so badly wrong for David Moyes over the past 4 years?
Well, we take it down to this last year, if you like. I mean, because it's just one bad decision after another for David Moyes. But unfortunately, the Sunderland situation only serves to amplify how badly wrong it's going. Even if it doesn't actually, for me, it doesn't kind of, it's not summed up as another kind of stepping stone towards oblivion for David Moyes. What he went into Sunderland was a squad where they were already the absolute pits of a squad. What you'll hear is stories of bad atmosphere, just bad players. Yes, he had £20-odd million in the transfer market and didn't spend it well, and then ended up bringing old Everton players to try and, you know, arrest the bleeding that was going on in the squad. But it's just the wrong fit at the wrong time for a guy who needed to redeem his reputation. If he turned that around at Sunderland, he would have been the saviour. That's complete career redemption, but from the off, it just looked like it was mission impossible.
Well, a guy who did that at Sunderland last season was Sam Allardyce, and at the end of that season, it looked like they were going to press on. Of course, he left to take the England job. So on the flip side of that, Sam Allardyce seemed to do a very good job with pretty much the same squad, and David Moyes relegated them with absolutely no hope.
Yeah, but what Sam Allardyce did at Sunderland is what he's been doing his entire career. He knows exactly what to do with a relegation battling team. He knows how to get the best out of certain team players in a certain system. David Moyes came to Sunderland and said the squad isn't good enough, I need money, and he wasn't given it. He said from day one we're in a relegation battle, and he was promised money, he never got it. January came along, he once again didn't get any money, and you say, okay, yeah, it's a blight on his record that he signed old Everton players. He resorted to having to sign old Everton players.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, just to kind of back up what Grant was saying, there's a lot to be said about David Moyes, but as far as it comes with Sunderland, I'm not sure he deserves all the criticism.
You talk about what he says in the media. I was going to bring that up. Should David Moyes have ever admitted that they were facing a relegation fight, even if everyone knows that's what's going to happen? 2 games into the season, and this is part of my issue with David Moyes, is he says the wrong things. At Manchester United, he came into that club and they were champions. They were defending champions of the Premier League, and he said Man United should aspire to be like Man City. That's not what you want
he
to
said,
hear.
I don't remember
he
that.
Said that. That's a direct quote. Manchester United got beaten, I think, 3-0 by Man City, and he said, we should aspire to be like Manchester City. At Real Sociedad, again, he talked about them fighting relegation. He talked about the investment needed in the squad. That team just missed out on Champions League this season. He just seems to say the wrong things in the media. And, of course, we're missing out the most controversial thing he said in the media this season, about the wee slap. Is his public persona an issue as well?
I think so. I think if there's a lot of things you could probably level with David Moyes. I think one of the more honest, fair ones would be the fact that it just seems his personality seems to be that he struggles to not tell the truth. That's the one thing that stood out for me, and throughout his entire career, is that whether it's Man United or, like you said, in Spain or Sunderland this year. He said in the first week at Sunderland, we're in a relegation fight.
After 2 games?
Yeah. The whole point.
I'm sorry to cut you off there, but I mean, it almost feels like David Moyes, perhaps, it struck to me of utter frustration was the look on his face. Was this a man who wasn't getting what he wanted from his board and resorted to the best possible means, was to mobilise the fans, yeah, and essentially say, you know, he's a realist.
Yeah, David, but he did this at Man United as well. He actually said when he first came in at Man United, he moaned about the fixture blog up at the start, saying this is because we're the champions, the way that he tried to do what Alex Ferguson had been doing at Man United for so long. But it's not only just in terms of the media. Throughout his time at, maybe not so much at Everton, but at Man United, he could then go on with certain players. One of the famous ones is he complained about Welbeck. He said Welbeck had to stay behind after training, work on his finishing, which is a perfectly fair criticism to level at Welbeck, in my opinion.
Danny Welbeck.
And he obviously picked a lot of fights with Sunderland players. He said they were claiming they were injured, but they weren't. He questioned the workout. All of which is fair, yeah, but it all seems to come across as maybe sometimes a little too honest, which is actually a characteristic which is thrown at a lot of Glaswegian managers specifically, and it kind of falls into the idea that maybe that style of coaching's maybe fallen by the wayside.
Look, you know why I worked for David Moyes at Everton? It was a certain period in time where things worked for him. He managed to get a squad of seasoned professionals and young players to buy into his ideas. Took a little bit of time. When it started to work, it worked. And then after that, if you can show someone that your ideas and philosophies, however dated they might appear to be, constant wing play, for example, to try and build attacks run above all else, if it works, it's effective and people believe in it. If you then try and transpose those ideas on different squads with different philosophies and it fails on the one of the biggest clubs in the world, Manchester United, and from then people form their opinions of it. Anything you did at Everton immediately goes out the window. And those attitudes permeate. And if you don't evolve as a manager and a man, like David Moyes has not since probably day one at Preston North End, then you've got a problem because the game's moved ahead without him.
So is that his biggest problem, that he hasn't adapted? He's almost like a relic of the last generation of coaches.
No, I think
almost like Arsene Wenger in a way. I suppose he's not adapted as well.
I think his biggest problem is his agent, if I'm honest with you. Think about the three jobs he's taken since left Everton. Old Trafford, or Man United, after Alex Ferguson.
Oh, he had to take that job, though. That's the biggest job.
It doesn't matter. It's the biggest poison chalice in the history of football.
It's also the biggest job in the it's the biggest job in the history of football. He had to take it.
It was doomed to failure. Even now, as we speak,
I agree.
After Van Gaal and Mourinho, they still haven't figured out what's wrong with Man United after Ferguson left. Second job he takes after that is Real Sociedad, a club that have had 9 managers in the last 10 years. And then after all that trouble, he comes back to Britain, and what jobs he go to? Sunderland, the looniest football club.
He made 2 bad choices after Manchester United, but I would make the case that he had to take that job. There's no way.
Of course he did.
Imagine him sitting at home, thinking for all those years, I could have been the manager that replaced Sir Alex Ferguson at Man United. I might have done a better job. Well, no, he didn't. But
okay, that's fine. I'll give him a pass on not taking my United job.
Real Sociedad was bonkers.
It was Sunderland.
No, but Sunderland was the chance. I was a shot of redemption for David Moyes, and he genuinely.
To me, it felt like he took the first Premier League job that.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
This is the point I was going to go into. David Moyes right now, the modern iteration of David Moyes, is this character who's constantly chasing redemption after what's happened at Manchester United.
So where does he get it then? Where does he get redemption?
This is why it's so crucial. He has to give up this idea that he has to prove himself, which he tries to do at Sociedad, which he tries to do at Sunderland, and he has to go find a more comfortable job where he can work, as he did at Everton, a bit more patience, a bit more structure, and maybe just try and get a stronger hold in the football club. I've said on the show 100 times, the Premier League is not a good atmosphere for football managers. Mm-hmm. It's the worst place in the sport for a football manager to try and get his reins, get a hand on the reins or something.
As a manager.
In the early Premier League, this is a completely different era from that Everton, when he was at Everton.
David Moyes needs a 10-year contract somewhere and say, build this club in your image.
Man United gave him a 6-year contract. It should still be running.
Yeah, but six,
it is still running. Yeah, but still running.
But success is immediately expected at Manchester United. He needs I'm putting this as a hypothetical, it's actually completely improbable. It's never going to happen. You need to be given 8-10 years at a club, say, build this in your image, we'll give you time, and we'll see what happens off the back of it. Kind of what Everton did. I mean, they were coming off the back of, It was a club that was in proper need of a turnaround,
and was
quite willing with Bill Kenwright just to sit there and see what happens with this project manager, and it worked out quite nicely for them, place, right time.
If you actually listen to David Moyes' interviews about that time period in his career, he always often says, if I didn't have the patience of the chairman, I would have never worked. So he was given more patience at Everton than
on earth you'll get that, is Arsenal.
No. The Premier League as it is now, David Moyes isn't suited to it at all as a coach.
Rightly or wrongly, will he ever work in the Premier League again because of the impression of him? Or
I think he will. I mean, the interesting thing is that the chairman at Sunderland, whose name I've completely forgotten.
Ellis Short.
Yes. He wanted him to stay. David Moyes resigned and he was desperate for him to stick around. I think he still has a lot of goodwill among a lot of the clubs there, but I think he has to leave the Premier League and go rebuild himself as a football manager elsewhere.
I don't see where he does that. I mean, he went to Real Sociedad. I don't think it was to try and rebuild. I actually can't put my finger on why. It was just an interesting project, a challenge.
He didn't do a bad job at Sociedad, though. He arrived at the club that had just finished.
He did a terrible job at Real Sociedad.
No, he didn't.
Hold on a minute.
He arrived when he was 15th. He arrived when they were 15th. And he pulled them up to, 12th, 10th in the league?
I don't know specifically, but yes, they didn't finish
in the top half. Beat Barcelona?
Yeah, but Real Sociedad just finished outside the top four places with pretty much the same squad.
Within the first season, though, come on, they brought him in to try and save their season, and he managed to get some sort of stability. And then after a few bad results in the second season,
it's comparable to someone like, you know, Gus Hiddink coming in at Chelsea last season, who had an abnormally terrible start to the season, and Chelsea improving ever so slightly. Did Gus Hiddink do a spectacular job or even a good job at Chelsea? No, he stopped them getting relegated. I don't know if that...
What did Real Sociedad do job-wise for David Moyes? Nothing. I think that's the test.
But that's the point. They're a terrible... Yeah, okay. The point is, he keeps picking these clubs that are never going to be able to let him do what he wants to do.
What about Scotland? Not the national team job, although we might move on to that in the next question. Is Scotland a place where he could redeem himself?
I don't see where.
I mean, it's not so long ago that he was, I think, offered reportedly the Celtic job. I mean, imagine that. Brendan Rodgers has just led Celtic to an unbeaten season. David Moyes could have been the manager.
But it's not beyond the realms that David Moyes could have done a competent or good job at Celtic. I mean, it might have given them a chance to impose a different style of play, grow his philosophy in an atmosphere where he would get a bit of patience and results would follow. But ultimately, he would have needed to get into the Champions League as well. I mean, that would be the test for any manager.
So if he was offered that job and he didn't, well, he's not Celtic manager, so if he was offered it, he turned it down, was that the wrong decision then? Should have been taking Celtic manager.
The benefit of hindsight, but then we don't know. He could have been a Ronnie Dyla who failed to get them to European football and ultimately damaged any career prospects in England.
I think what he was probably, if he did turn the job down, it would have been because he feared to be a Neil Lennon, in the sense that he did an exceptional job as manager and probably did as well as he possibly could, still didn't get recognition in England. Now, the tables have completely turned. I feel like we talk about Brendan Rodgers every week on this show, but Brendan Rodgers has shown exactly what, you know, the true capacity of what a Celtic manager can do and the level of success and adoration they get from that.
David Moyes does not get that Celtic job any point in the near future based on his current record. No. It just doesn't add up.
And also because Brendan Rodgers is knocking out of the park. Right. But
he's on a long-term contract. But, you know, in the, you know, doomsday scenario, Brendan Rodgers is offered a job and goes, then David Moyes is not the man who's going to go in there. I mean, can you honestly pick another club in Scotland? It's just not going to happen.
No.
Aberdeen job, if Derek McInnes goes, it's far too far down the chain.
Well, what about the national team then? That's the one that people keep on mentioning David Moyes if Gordon Strachan is to go at some point. David Moyes seems to be for most people the obvious candidate.
I will say, sorry, I feel like I'm talking a lot here, but I will say the one good thing that could happen for David Moyes in the Scotland job is the problem with the Scotland squad is we are trying to play a continental style, and where this team thrived in the last 10 years, 12 years, when Walter Smith announced McLeish was going back to basics and playing two strengths. If David Moyes can do one thing with the team, it's playing old school, play to strength football. So a Scottish national team job might not actually, it's not going to be the best fit in terms of, oh, you're playing amazingly attractive football, but if you want to get results and make the best out of a squad, then yeah, maybe, possibly.
And also it would see him kind of stepping out of the goldfish bowl of being at a club every day.
The frying pan into the fire.
I mean, if there's one employed coach in the UK who can make David Moyes look good, it's Gordon Strachan right now. So I can't possibly imagine why it'd be anything bad. The only thing that might stand in his way is that he's obviously a coach who likes to tinker, gets very involved in the training and the coaching. At Everton, he used to lead training, you know, go out in the runouts and everything. So would he have the patience for an international job where you get very little time with the players, you get very little time to work tactics? I don't know.
Thank you for listening to the Pundits podcast, sponsored by BetBright. We'll be back again next week with another episode.